Authorities say that a deal is near on a crucial Mideast waterway, the Strait of Hormuz. On Wall Street, the Dow is trading higher while the NASDAQ is down a fraction. This is SRN News.
It is that peace through Jesus that provides that peace which is supernatural, surpasses all human understanding. So the question is, do you know the Lord Jesus Christ as Savior and as Lord? Have you said yes? Listen, salvation is not by osmosis.
For more expository preaching from Dr. Gene A. Youngblood, tune in weeknights at 9 and Saturday mornings at 9 on The Truth.
Thanks for tuning in to Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Gene A. Youngblood. Since 2015, Dr. Youngblood has taken scores of questions and comments on the challenging issues of the day, with the goal of motivating and informing listeners to examine the issues from a central biblicist worldview. Currently, this broadcast is heard on 3 regional stations in Florida and Georgia. Dr. Youngblood's expository preaching is also heard on these 3 stations in Jacksonville, Florida, St. Augustine, Florida, and Brunswick, Georgia. Now there's a great opportunity to expand this vital ministry to other cities. Your help is needed to accomplish this mission. Your support in any amount is crucial to take the next step in sharing God's truth in a relevant, lively, and timely way. Thanks for your willingness to support this broadcast as we prepare to face the issues on a broader scale. Please go to fcbcatjax.com or to send your best gift to First Conservative Baptist Church, 12021 Old St. Augustine Road, Jacksonville, Florida, 32258, Attention Radio. Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Gene A. Youngblood is brought to you by First Conservative Baptist Church. Now let's get back to Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Gene A. Youngblood.
Thank you once again, ladies and gentlemen, for joining us today on Let's Face the Issue. It's always our joy, delight, and pleasure to have you call in, ask your question, join in the dialogue and discussion. Let me ask you a couple of questions to set the stage for the balance of our broadcast today. Why is this election so consequential? In your mind, what is the most important thing that you think should be viewed and seen and that a candidate should be vetted on for this election? What are the top 3 things? What are the top 4 things? What is the number 1 thing? Now, there are a lot of people that are making decisions on how to vote based on the economy, based on how much they pay for gas, based on how much they pay for a loaf of bread. Ladies and gentlemen, what we get in the price of everything today, if I might just do a little insert here to set the stage. Our costs today are predicated on and based upon the greed in America and the greed born out of the governmental officials deciding we're going to give a pay increase, going to give higher wages per hour, etc. Every time the wages go up 10, 15, 20 cents an hour, we watch the cost of living going up proportionately. So folks are saying, well, I want that in California for fast food operations. There's a law now that says that the wage must be $20 an hour minimum. Well, as a result of that, entire chains, fast food chains, one was a mom-and-pop group that had been in operation for over 50 years with 65 locations. They shut them down. They said, we can't pay for the product and pay $20 an hour for labor and still have a product that people are willing to buy at a price they're willing to pay, so they're shutting down. Major chains today are having major, major problems in some states that's done that. Across the nation, we're going to pay based on what we've encouraged. In fact, we've demanded our legislators hike the wage in our. Listen, maybe it's me. I'm still less than 100 years old. I grew up when there was no such thing as wage and hour. Everybody had money in their pocket, some more or less. But it was not a matter of having an employer forced to pay a certain amount for flipping hamburgers or for parking cars, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. It reaches an economic level where it is either workable or it's not workable. So there are a lot of people. Let me get back to the standard. There are a lot of people today that make a decision on electing a candidate that will promise to give you a chicken in every pot which was a term used by a liberal years ago as a president, chicken in every pot and a car in every garage and money in every pocket. That is the wrong approach. We need to look at it from the Christian conservative patriot standpoint. Is what is it that affects us? What is it about our Bill of Rights that God had given us codified in the Constitution? What is it that we'll lose if we don't vet the candidate? Ladies and gentlemen, may I say to you today, Christian liberties, Christian freedom, Christians in general are being put upon, and most are not recognizing it. I'm looking at a headline, not an oversight, but publishers, libraries, are scrubbing Christianity out of all American story textbooks. A generation that does not know where the freedoms come from will not know why those freedoms are worth fighting for. A new study has confirmed that libraries and publishers are working on cleansing Christianity out of all the American story, end quote. Further, the article states, the study from publishers Brave Books called the American 250 Faith Gap and reviewed more than 300 books from 25 reading lists assembled by children publishers, libraries, and others. Among those so-called top books, there's no titles addressing faith in America or in the founding of America. Nor were there titles directly addressing religious liberties, freedom of speech, or the Christianity role in the founding of our nation. That's even though the First Amendment deals specifically with our religious rights. There were no titles on the Great Awakening, no titles found about faith living, faith lives of our founders and the history of the church. However, books were found by the hundreds, including, how would you say, Project 1619, porn, and other immoral, ungodly subjects. And the report said there were books on the list of transgenderism, the activists of the 1969 Stonewall riots promoting LGBTQ lifestyle and choices, sympathetic biographies of transgenderism, Joe Biden and Kamala Harris. Ladies and gentlemen, you didn't hear that on the national news. You didn't hear that on the Communist Network news. You didn't hear that on any of the general news media outlets. And that's because Christians today, in my opinion, are asleep at the wheel. Christians today are not cognizant or aware of what is taking place with our religious liberties and our freedoms being swept away. This is the reason this is such a consequential election. For about 50 or 60 years, Christians have been silent in the pulpits. Christians have been silent in the pews. Christians have been silent in their public arena. Christians have been silent in their professions, not taking a stand for biblical truth. And ladies and gentlemen, we're talking about today why this election is so consequential. It's consequential because unrecognized, unspoken of, not addressed by our politicians are the religious liberties and the freedoms that we have as a nation that are being swept away. Christian statistics and values, Christian morals and ethics, Christian biblical truths are generally not talked about by the candidates. Let's ask a few questions. What about the bias in government from the in favor of the LGBTQ sodomite agenda? What about that? Who's taking a stand on that? I'm looking at a headline. Court allows states to protect, hear me, headline, court allows states to protect children from deviant adult live performances. The performance often bill themselves as artists, claim their art is protected by the Constitution. But a panel of the 11th U.S. Circuit Court of Appeals say it's just fine for a state to adopt any law that protects children from such adult live performances. The issue is the obscene, lewd, and sexual content often incorporated into drag shows, which often take place in venues to which children have had access. No more in the state of Florida. Limiting access to the shows is a straightforward regulation of obscenity, declared Judge Anthony Brashear, authoring the majority opinion in a dispute over Florida's Protection of Children Act that prevents children from being given access to those adult live performances. It goes on to talk about how that ought not to be and should not be. Listen, I want to ask you a question. Ladies and gentlemen, have you talked with any of the candidates that's running for office on the local, state, or national level? How do you stand on drag queen shows? How do you stand on the LGBTQ? How would you say circus performances where they rally down the streets in our city with our present mayor? There's nothing wrong with that. It's okay to have the sodomite community stand and wag their fingers in the face of moral, ethical Christians in our city. And I'm saying that just as an illustration. Across the nation, we have politicians that's running for office. We have those running for city council in Jacksonville, Florida. Ask them the question, how do you stand on the LGBTQ sodomite parades? Do you think that the mayor should be the grand wizard, or whatever you call it, on the main scene, representing the city, recognizing that deviant lifestyle? Or should there be a candidate that says, no, I'm going to take a stand against it? Ask your ask those that are running for office, where do you stand on that? What about the freedom to openly challenge the DEI, the abortion practices, and the Islamic agenda? There are nations today, there are cities today, there are cities in America today, Dearborn, Michigan being one. A pastor in Dearborn, Michigan just simply asked the question about why a street was named after an Islamic jihadist. And because he asked that question, the mayor of Dearborn, Michigan, an Islamic jihadist, demanded that that Christian pastor just leave the city. In fact, the mayor said, when you leave the city, we, the city, will have a parade in gleefulness of your leaving the city. In America, Dearborn, Michigan. Of course, Michigan is going almost full throttle for the Islamic jihadist movement. It is something that is not foreseen because we've been silent too long. Here's a headline. Government may not interfere. The DOJ memo protects parental rights, religious freedom across federal agencies. The Justice Department released a memo Thursday directing all federal agencies to institutionalize the Supreme Court's precedents and protect all aspects of religious freedom, including parental rights, aimed at activist efforts to force the LGBTQ activism in our schools. Quote, religious liberty is not merely a right to personal religious belief or even to worship in a particular place. States the memo, providing early daily to the Daily Signal. It also encompasses religious observances and practice as displayed in a person's daily life. It goes on to say, religious liberty guidelines published in 2017 under President Donald Trump's finally first administration lays out 21 principles that the federal agency must follow on religious freedom and religious liberties. The memo includes a new section that states, government may not, hear me, the government may not interfere with the parental rights to direct the religious upbringing of their child. Parents, this quote, I'm giving you a quote direct from this article. Parents have the right to direct the religious upbringing and education of their children. The memo explains the rights extend beyond to a mere right to teach religion in the confines of one's home and encompasses the choice parents make for their children outside the home. Government policies that substantially interfere with the religious development of a child violates the rights of that child and the parents. Hear me, ladies and gentlemen. By the way, that telephone number is 904-831-0917. 904-831-0917. What is your position? Is this a consequential election? How should we vet the candidates? What other nuances can you think of that a person needs to ask a candidate, vetting the candidate to make a decision? Does that candidate get our vote? It's not just a matter of one single issue. It's not a matter of skin tonation. It's not a matter of a denominational background per se. I'd like to see everybody be required to be a Christian to run. That's not the case. And just a few years ago, I think about 27, 28, 29 states still had in their constitution that you're required to be a Christian to run for public office. That because of the open-mindedness in America, where so many brains have fallen out on the street corners, that there's the mindset that we can't have that categorization because it might eliminate some running for office. I think we need to go back to that standard, personally. I think that we need to go back to a standard somehow, and I believe that one of those standards need to be, if you are not for America, if you're not going to pledge to the flag, if you're not going to stand for our Bill of Rights, if you're not going to stand for our Declaration of Independence, if you're not going to stand for the freedoms that we have in America, you can't run for office. And that would eliminate every, hear me, that would eliminate every E-V-E-R-Y Islamic jihadist candidate. That would eliminate, ladies and gentlemen, the overwhelming majority of the Socialist Democrats of America. That would eliminate the Socialist Marxist Communists that's running for office today. That would eliminate multitudes in our own city, in the city council. That would eliminate multitudes on a state level and a national level. And I believe we need to go back to having a standard. I believe that we need to recognize, ladies and gentlemen, that our Christian liberties, our Christian freedoms are being deteriorated, are being eviscerated, being undermined in our nation. And yet it's something that we rarely think about and talk about. I'm talking about the population in general, when it comes to vetting a candidate. And again, I'll go back to the premise. You can challenge me if you like. You can ask the question as to what I see. But there's the mindset today across America that we need to vote for the candidate that's going to give us more free stuff, that's going to reduce the price of everything, to make gas go down, a loaf of bread go down in price, and make everything be super low at our supermarkets, and yet we want to be greedy and having a higher and higher wage and hour and salaries. The two are just not compatible. You can't do both. If one is higher in salaries, then that workman that is at the factory that makes that product or at the store that sells that product, they've got to go up on the cost to pay their overhead and their labor. And the trickle down is it comes out of the American's pocketbook. So if we'd stop the greed in America and the envy over who has more money in America, we could resolve a lot of the problems. But ladies and gentlemen, getting back to the fundamental subject, why is this election so consequential? Listen to a brief article. The headline says, "This shouldn't be happening in America." This is one of those stories that sounds too outrageous to be real. The story of a modern-day Daniel, the kind you'd expect to read about in history books, not the news. Daniel Grant is an Orthodox Jew. As a faithful practitioner of his faith, he simply wanted to host a prayer gathering in his home with a small group of friends. But a neighbor learned about Daniel's plans and reported him to the mayor. The mayor demanded the city stop this activity. Shockingly, Universal Heights, Ohio, did exactly that. City officials ordered Daniel to obtain a permit to just have a prayer gathering with friends in his home, classifying it as a place of religious assembly. Things then got worse. To make sure Daniel didn't hold meetings without the permit, the city began surveilling his house, even encouraged neighbors to spy on him and report on him any suspected violations. Daniel attempted to comply with the town's outrageous demand, but there was an impossible catch. The permit process wasn't designed for a family home. It was designed for churches, synagogues, and other dedicated houses of worship. To qualify, Daniel would have to stop using his home for his residence altogether. In other words, the city presented him with an impossible alternative and choice: abandon his attempt to host prayer meetings or give up living in his own home. If you're thinking that can't be happening in America, you're not alone. Regular prayer gatherings in private homes have been part of religious life for centuries and remain an essential practice for many faith communities today. Government officials have no business policing peaceful acts of worship behind closed doors. And when they do, those officials must be accounted to for violating citizens' constitutional rights. The method may be different, but the principle is the same. Government officials are using their power to influence with a citizen's religious freedom. If this can happen to Daniel, it can happen to others. That's why we need to pray today. May I say to you, ladies and gentlemen, some would believe that's an impossibility. I could go back in just the past 10, 15, 20 years and tell you about case after case across America where communities, cities, Atlanta, Georgia was one just a few years ago. I say a few, probably as much as 10 years ago, trying to prosecute a couple because of having prayer meetings in the home. It was on the premise and the basis that you have cars parked at the curb visiting your home that otherwise wouldn't be. And so therefore, you're forming a church in a residential neighborhood, and you can't do that. It is interfering with the religious liberties and the freedom that we have as Americans. This is the reason, ladies and gentlemen, this election is so consequential. We need to take a stand and vet the candidate. How do you stand on religious liberties, freedom of speech? How do you stand on the LGBTQ agenda? How do you stand on the agenda of murder by way of abortion? What about the freedom to openly challenge DEI, abortion practices, and the Islamic agenda? What about a Christian allowed to do the invocation? Listen, if I were to be invited to do the invocation at City Hall for a city council meeting, they would want to send me a little document telling me how to pray a non-sectarian prayer. I recall a number of years ago I was invited to speak at one of the graduations for one of the larger schools in our city. And in that invocation, before the invocation, I was sent a notification on what I could and could not say. And my wife read it, and she said, "What are you going to do with that?" I said, "File 13. I tossed it in the trash can. I got to the meeting. I was called on to do the invocation, and I prayed from Genesis 1:1 through Revelation 22. In my prayer, I gave the plan of salvation. In my prayer, I closed saying, "In the name of Yeshua, Messiah, the Lord Jesus Christ, our Savior, amen." You could hear a pin drop in that place. I was told afterwards that the principal of that school was put on notice, don't ever call that man to pray again. That's the mindset today. You can have an Islamic pray and pray to Allah, pray in Arabic, and ask Allah to kill all of the non-believers, though the general public does not understand or hear that. And it's okay. But a Christian can't stand to do an invocation in any of the political meetings anymore because it might offend somebody. It might offend somebody. Ladies and gentlemen, when has it become proper or appropriate for a political authority, for a political candidate, for a political person to be able to tell me how I can pray or what I can pray? And yet that is not across the board carried out equally with the Hindus, with the Buddhists, with the Islamic jihadists, etc., etc. But for a Christian, by all means, God forbid that you pray in Jesus' name. And I'm looking at the headline here. Abdul El Sayed invokes Islamic prayer in the super tight Michigan primary. Democratic Socialist Abdul Sayed fighting Wednesday in a tight race against Haley Stevens, etc., etc. Sayed addressed the crowd regarding the outcome, saying, "Allah, in the name of Allah," which is taken from the Quran and generally is understood to mean, "If God wills." If Allah wills. Now, Allah is not God. Listen, let me just do a little parenthetical in footnote. When the media says something where a jihadist Islamic kills somebody and says Allah Akbar, they say it's just talking about God is great. That's not what it's saying. It's saying Allah is the greatest of all gods. That's Allah Akbar. Allah is the greatest of all gods. It is not the creator controller God. It's not the God that's found in the Bible. It's not the Christian's God. It is a false, phony God. Out of 360 gods, Muhammad picked the one that was the moon god of the Bedouins in that day, and it was called Allah. That's the reason you see the sickle and the sword and the quarter moon. It was the moon god. That's the sign. That's the Islamic sign today. Ladies and gentlemen, we ought to understand there's a need today to vet the candidates. This is a consequential election. And the only way we'll make a determination and difference in the direction of what the America will be like a year from now, 10 years from now, is if we cast the right ballot. The only way we can cast the right ballot is to vet the candidates. That number is 904-831-0917. This article reads, I'm looking at, they've been warned. Four states get cautioned. Their absurd gender ideologies put them in violation of the federal law. Even after the parents learned of the school's action and directed that they cease, officials continued to use the students' asserted names and pronouns, leaving the decision to the child rather than permitting the parent to direct their child's upbringing. Long-standing precedence in the United States is that parents have a fundamental right to decide the upbringing, care, and education of their child. The Supreme Court recently affirmed that that right belongs to the parents, not the state. Now, four states have gotten letters from the legal team dedicated to protecting that right, that they probably are in violation of federal law, including the First and 14th Amendment of the Constitution. The Liberty Justice Center informed or confirmed this week it has sent letters to officials, attorney generals of New York, New Jersey, Illinois, and Washington State. Parents have a fundamental right under the First and 14th Amendment to decide their child's upbringing. Schools that hide information regarding children's mental health from the parents unduly burden those parents' constitutional rights, the letter explains. Ladies and gentlemen, what is the how does the candidate stand on that? Have you asked your listen, there's 11 people running for governor of the state of Florida. Have you talked with any one of those 11? Have you asked them a list of questions about their relationship to the Lord? Have you asked any one of those 11 the question, how do you stand on the LGBTQ agenda? How do you stand on, for example, the invasive, what they call flock cameras, which is now being presented in some of the southern cities in the state of Florida to be put on garbage trucks so even as the garbage truck goes through the community, it can record everything around your house, look at the tag numbers, know who's at your house, and as they said, be able to determine if you're putting a roof on without a permit or if you've got an old bathtub out front, they know that you're remodeling your bathroom. It is a way to invade the privacy of every citizen. Have you asked your potential candidate for the governor of the state of Florida, how does he stand on that issue? We need governors, potential governors. We need those running for the state of Florida government as the governor of the state. We need to ask them, what do you stand on LGBTQ? What do you stand on Islam? Will you allow Islamics to come in and pervade our state? At least in the present governorship in the state of Florida, Governor DeSantis has ruled, made a decision that the Muslim Brotherhood and the Council on American Islamic Relations are terrorist organizations and not welcomed in the state of Florida. Will the next governor take that stand? Will the next governor stand up on that? I say not. In fact, some of the governor candidates said that we can't take a stand on those issues. It might alienate the independent voter, or we might alienate some of our votes. Listen, if God wants the governor candidate to be in office, God's going to do it if that candidate stands on truth and will face the issues that will determine the values of America for the predetermined future as to what we stand, whether we'll have our religious liberties, our freedom of speech, our constitutional right to keep and bear arms, and to be safe from invasive search and seizure by the government without a warrant. Ladies and gentlemen, this is a constitutional problem. This is a consequential election. This is something we need to be concerned about. I'm looking at the headline, Federal Appeals Court upholds the Ten Commandments displayed in public schools. A federal court has upheld a Texas law requiring public schools across the state to display the Ten Commandments. And a 9-8 decision came from the Fifth Court of Appeals, reversing the 2025 rule that said the law failed to demonstrate a tradition of posting the commandments. I believe the Ten Commandments need to be in every state, in every school, in every county, in every classroom. But we have those that will not stand for that. Sir, those that are running for public office, whether it be city council, whether it be state representative or senators or U.S. senators or even for governor, where do they stand on these issues? That makes the difference because this is a consequential election. Ladies and gentlemen, vet the candidates. Pray, ask God to give wisdom to cast that vote. Early voting starts very soon. We need to take a stand and know how we're voting. Ladies and gentlemen, thank you for joining us today. Looking forward to meeting you next time on the air as once again we face the issues.
You have been listening to Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Gene A. Youngblood, pastor of First Conservative Baptist Church and president of Conservative Theological University, 12021 Old St. Augustine Road, Jacksonville, Florida. Located 1 mile south of I-295, FCBC invites you to tune in nightly, 9 to 10, for expository preaching on 91.3, 91.7, and 91.9 FM. You're invited to worship with First Conservative Baptist Church. A reminder, CTU is now enrolling students for next semester. Ask about first semester scholarships. Call 1-800-GO-BIBLE.